Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman.
That's right, folks. We are back again. And fortunately, I posted last week's episode just in time for us to record this week's episode. Sorry about the late posting there. Anyway, here we are, Tiny Shutter Podcast, the iPhone photography podcast for iPhone photographers. My name is Keith Tharp.
I'm mostly Mark Sadowski.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
Matt Hoffman is coming to us from inside the box this week. Let's start off right with the news this week. We've got Light News Week, and we are going to briefly touch on the fact that Hipstamatic is laying off engineers and other personnel. Not much more news other than that. Hipstamatic has come out with a public announcement just noting that they are doing some restructuring, nothing else, and it's business as usual. What do you think? Anything under the surface, guys, or is it just the way things go?
That always makes me nervous when that's what they're saying. I don't know. It's typical business speak. I get that. But this week has been, in tech news itself, you have a lot of services that are going bankrupt and then saying that everything is fine. And meanwhile, they had this entire business restructuring where it was like another version of Chapter 11, but weird, really, really weird stuff. So then Hipstamatic says this, and I'm like, I really hope it's that simple. I'd hate to see that app go away.
Yeah,
I'm wondering who's purchasing it.
Ooh, nice. I didn't even think about that.
You know, actually, Matt brings up a really good point, because if they're doing mass layoffs, that gives the company more value. So it would be prone for purchasing.
Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. And I mean, I don't know. This particular article that I read on TechCrunch doesn't mention a amount of employees that they have or that they are laying off. But it does mention something that I was thinking about, is the fact that they're in this kind of downward spiraling market. It's kind of like a race to the bottom as far as app prices go. They are they're competing with things like, let's just say, for instance, Camera Awesome, that's coming onto the market for free with, in-app purchases. There's a lot of apps out there that hit the market for free. And there's a certain level of consumer that's ready to pay, but there's also a larger portion of the consumer area that would rather get it for free or cheap, you know?
And also easier. I mean, Hipstamatic, in the grand scheme of things, as far as using different filters, is pretty complex to say something compared to like Instagram's filters.
Yeah, it's not as point and click as Instagram is. You do have to sit there and maybe that's where the your level of creativity kind of blossoms for folks like us that enjoy it, is because, you know, what do you get if you combine this lens with this film and this film with this lens and so forth?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the creativity possibilities are really, really good, and I would have to say the vast majority of people that use Hipstamatic still, from my personal observation, is people who are really into photography. It's not really for the casual people anymore.
Yep. All right, let's move on. And in case you didn't notice, I haven't written a script today, so I have no witty titles for my news stories.
That's how it's done.
So we have what I have real briefly is a sort of iPhone 5-ish kind of news. AT&T has mentioned that because when iPhone 5 or iOS 6 pops out, there is going to be FaceTime available on the new network, the 4G network, right? Or the 4, mm-hmm. whatever this special network is. And AT&T has said that their customers that are grandfathered into the old iPhone plans, which I am, the old iPhone plans were a all-you-can-eat sort of thing, and they are not going to allow those particular customers to get FaceTime over the 4G network. It's only going to be over Wi-Fi. The only way you can get FaceTime over the 4G network is if you get out of that old plan and into one of the new family share plans, which is kind of a gotcha kind of scenario, because once you leave the old plan, you can never go back.
It's a trap.
you know, so Verizon took this the different way a couple months ago. They said that once the new iPhone comes out, if you want to upgrade to the new network, then you have to go to the new plan, which is now not all you can eat anymore. If you still want the all you can eat, you have to stay with your old service. So, you know, these people have to make money too, so it's just one of those things. I'm not going to be switching out of my all-you-can-eat plan right now, I can tell you that, and I'm perfectly fine with only getting FaceTime on Wi-Fi because that's just about how often I use it.
Amen to that. I'm sticking with my unlimited plan as well.
Yeah.
And pry that out of my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, me too. I have never even used FaceTime.
Yeah. I've used it occasionally, but it's if I didn't have it, I wouldn't care.
On a little tangent, actually. I would like to say that next week's episode of The Lens Wipe, not the one that's coming out this week, but next week, I actually have a rant about FaceTime and all that other technology because I believe it's a big, big lie.
Okay.
And that'll be the the cliffhanger to listen to the other show.
In more iPhone 5 rumors news, or getting closer to non-rumor news, Verizon has... put a blackout on vacation time during the time period of September 12th through September 16th, and this is an indication that this will be the is it the 22nd through the 28th maybe? Anyway, it's just more reaffirmation of rumors that that's when the announcement slash release will be for of the new iteration of the iPhone. So that's cool.
I can't wait.
Waiting is all I'm doing. What do we got? Another month. All right, so let's cancel that out. And we now have, real briefly, we're going to talk about the Nikon slash Android marriage in...
Suck it, Android!
The Nikon Android marriage in a point-and-shoot. This is rumor, but it's a rumored... leaked picture of a Nikon point-and-shoot that is powered by the Android, an older version of Android. What is it?
Gingerbread.
So
yeah, and this isn't the first time that we've heard about this. Polaroid had something similar back in January, and that seems to have fizzled out and died.
Right. Except the difference is that this is a rumor, and Polaroid was actually pitching that other one. It wasn't. It wasn't a rumor as much as it was a, this is what we're going to be doing. And Polaroid actually said that was going to be coming out, like, weeks ago.
Soon.
You know, we were supposed to have already seen that.
Yeah. But Nikon actually has some pretty good mic behind it, so.
Yeah. So what I wanted to talk about briefly is what you guys would be, would you guys be interested, and I just want this to be a brief yes or no kind of maybe comment, would you be interested in an iOS-driven point-and-shoot?
Absolutely.
I definitely would be.
Yeah. If it came out in a, and this little Nikon thing looks pretty sexy, if it came out in a similar type of form factor that was, you know, iPhone-esque or something like that, I would be interested in it. But unless it had a phone on it, I think that I would probably regret buying it. Because again, if I get the next iteration of the iPhone, which is probably going to have a pretty darn good camera on it, coming from my iPhone 4, I just don't see myself wanting to carry around two things. And if I'm going to carry around another thing, if I want to next level my photography, I'm probably just going to take my DSLR. So, you know, I would like to see it come out with a phone built into it, like a point and shoot with a phone rather than a phone with a point and shoot. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
I think that's the direction it's headed. And I'm sure that Apple is probably more than content to let everybody else waste their time, you know, building these cameras powered by Android. I think it's a cool idea, but I just don't see people running out to buy another point-and-shoot camera when the phones are already as good as they are.
I agree with you 100%, Matt.
Well, I mean, again, this is all rumor. For all we know, it does have a phone attached to it. I mean, it could.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, you would think that if it was going to have a phone attached to it, they wouldn't have pinned it three generations or four generations back on the software.
That is true, but it is Android, so we can't really use too much common sense with that, can we?
All right, let's move on, and we're going to move on. I've just instantly come up with a name for this news piece, and it's called stripping your Instagram, or something clever like that. Anyway,
there you go.
Hitting the streets this past week is a new app called Normalize. The app promises to strip your pictures of the horrible Instagram filters, revealing what the picture should and would have actually looked like had you taken it with a normal camera phone. So apparently the developer was sick and tired of seeing pictures ruined by Instagram filters and the like, and developed an app for folks that are sick of it too, to remove the filters from the pictures.
Guy needs some, has issues. I mean, really, did it bother you that much that somebody had like a freaking Sierra filter on a photo?
Clearly it did. Here's a quote. Developed by Joe Masarowski after he was tired of seeing perfectly good photos destroyed by color-changing filters. He decided it was time for the public to start seeing photographs in a new real-world perspective.
I have another app that helps me with that. And it doesn't just work on bad Instagram photos. It works on all bad photography that people take. And it's called unsubscribing from their freaking Facebook feed. Done. Money saved.
What were you gonna say, Matt?
I just think this guy's missing the point of Instagram. You know, I think it's supposed to be an escape from reality.
I think that's a good point. I don't take pictures in Instagram, so I think it's a little bit different for me. But yeah. I think that Mark, you hit it on the head too. You know, there's an app for that. It's called Unsubscribe or Don't Follow. You know, I mean, if you have an issue with it, move on. You know. So anyway, so that's a thing. I'll link to it if you guys feel like you want to download it and strip the filters off my pictures. I don't care.
Why even get Instagram? Why even look at it?
Right. All right. Last thing, or actually no things, we're just going to move into the feature for this week. You guys ready to go?
Oh, let's rock.
We're calling this week's feature the Panorama Palooza. And what we did over the past couple weeks was we all dove into to a few of the hottest panorama apps, used them, put them to some tests, and came up with some opinions about them, and we are going to chat about those opinions right now.
Well, which apps have you guys used? Because the ones I have, Photosynth, Dermander, 360 Panorama, and Best Pano, those are the ones that I tested.
I have the ones that I tested are the ones that I still have left on my phone. I ditched a whole bunch of them that I felt weren't worth talking about. but I still have on my phone 360 Panorama, Best Pano, Dermander, Photosynth, and Auto Stitch.
And I haven't played with Best Pano.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Ironically, it's not the best.
but yeah, on my phone, I have 360 Panorama, Photosynth, Dermander, and Auto Stitch.
All right. So with that being said, let's just quickly knock this out of the park, Mark, and go with Best Pano first.
The best one that I played with.
No. I mean the app, Best Pano.
Oh, Best Pano. Oh. I'm trying to mentally block this one. I did not like this app at all. Not even close. Of the apps that I played with, this one was the last one on my list because I was saving the best for last. And it had like the old fashioned, you had to line up your photos for one of the modes. And then, you know what? I'm not even going to waste some time on it because I'm going to piss somebody off probably.
Yeah, best Pano was not the best Pano out of all the ones I've tried. You get a choice of three different modes. You can take fastest good quality, Which is like some kind of preview mode type of thing, which I actually didn't use because I started at the bottom with image fast best quality, and then I moved up to video faster better quality,
and all that was a stupid video.
it was horrible. So the image fast best quality was horrible. You had to line up your shots with an onion skinning kind of thing going on. And it was just very, very difficult to do. It was time consuming. And then once you finally did get yourself a pano lined up, the processing was slow, and it just don't get this app. I'm sorry to the developers, but with everything else that's out there right now, this app just isn't cutting it.
It's very archaic.
Yeah, the video one was even slower and more clunky. Mm-hmm. So that it, out of the five that I've tested, that was on the bottom.
Yep, ditto.
I'm glad I did not play with that one.
I'm glad you didn't waste your time. Since we all have... Go ahead.
Does it cost anything?
$1.99.
It's $1.99, yeah. So since we all have Dermander, and we've all used it at some point or another. I used it again during the testing. What do you guys think about Dermander?
Dermander, I have to say, is probably my favorite, and it's probably the easiest of the lot to use. And I'll have to say this. This is bonus points for Dermander. My dad, who is new to the whole iOS environment, got into Panoramix, and this is the app that he likes best. Of the panos that I had for software on this thing, software. my PC site is showing. This is the one that he found that was easiest to use, because all you have to do is just start, do your panoramic, and then you're done. And no need to like go up or down or anything. It's very straightforward. It does the cropping for you, which is huge. And it from start to finish, you have a great product. And the best part about it is when you have different exposures, it will compensate for that. It'll adjust the image pretty good from shadows to bright light.
Yeah, I like Dermander. It's definitely probably the easiest of all the pano apps that I've tried to use. Super straightforward, and does a great job of stitching. Mm-hmm. Almost every pano that I've shot with that app has lined up perfectly. No weird spots where it didn't line up or anything.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like is it's somewhat limiting. I think you can only go from side to side with it. So, you know, you just can get... You can't go up or down. So
right.
I find that to be a little bit limiting. So if you're near, like, a big, tall waterfall, you can't shoot up and down. You can only shoot side to side. So that was the only thing about that app that I didn't like.
So for me, Dermander was a good performer indoors in low light, was a horrible performer outdoors in good light for me. I found the stitching in outdoor situations to be not good at all. Like Mark said, it does do the cropping for you. You have to shoot in portrait orientation, and then you view in landscape orientation. So basically, it crops everything down for you. It gives you a little bit of an indicator. Is okay for panning and whatnot. Pan, stop here, it clicks. Pan, stop here, it clicks. But my experience in the outdoors with it was not good at all.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't have good luck with it at all, and especially in my 360. I tried it with a couple just wide normal panoramas, and they were a little bit choppy. And then when I tried it with a 360 outside, it really showed clunky in the stitching. Indoors it outperformed some of the other ones. So if this is one where I would say if you can find it on discount or free, it's good to go with. But I don't know that I would recommend a purchase of this one.
Oh, I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, me too. I'm wondering if maybe you were...
Moving. Don't even start saying it's user error.
Well, now that you mention it. That it's the weirdest thing, because I'm looking at the panos that I took today, and I had one of the areas it was in the Boston Common, and it went from dark to light pretty easily.
Mark, do you have auto stitch or no?
I don't have auto stitch.
All right, let's go to that one, Matt.
I love auto stitch. Auto stitch is by far my absolute favorite pano app, and I actually do not shoot panos with it pretty much ever, even though it does a really good job, and it's not limiting. You could shoot lots of rows and columns of photos and really make a pretty massive pano with it. But I usually shoot with Pro HDR and then basically bring those photos into auto stitch and stitch those photos into a pano.
Ooh,
very interesting.
Yeah, I'm on a major HDR kick, and I can't stand not being able to shoot HDR.
For me, auto stitch was a disappointment at first, but then kind of came around. I found it very slow in the creation process. Using the app to create panos as opposed to importing, like Matt's suggesting, but using the app to capture the images, I found the capture process slow and arduous. It was that's just the bottom line. When I did 360s with it, they were not as good as some of the other options, but when I did traditional panoramas, the stitching was absolutely flawless for me. I would say that this particular app, as far as the stitching quality goes, was by far the best on the traditional panorama, something that you're taking like maybe, you know, four horizontal and three vertical shots, so 12 total pictures, but they're all like in front of you as opposed to turning yourself around. The stitching was absolutely gorgeous on it.
Do you guys recommend buying it? Even though it's a moot point because I'm buying it right now.
Yeah, it's $1.99, and I'm glad I bought it. Originally, I like the first time I tried it, I was like, oh crap, I spent $1.99. But then after I put it to use for a good time, and I'm glad I have it now.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll just say, you know, Keith is right. It is slow. It's almost painfully slow at stitching the photos together. But that being said, I don't think I've ever had to reshoot a pano that I've stitched with auto stitch because it messed up the stitching. I think every pano I've ever stitched in auto stitch has come out perfect.
Yeah.
I don't mind waiting as long as the end result is awesome.
Well, I'm not saying like processing waiting, I don't mind so much as the capture time waiting is kind of a bummer to me. So when you have something like, for instance, if you're taking a picture of sky and clouds are moving, then you could have an issue with ghosting or stuff like that. So
yeah.
So it's the capture time that I found was painfully slow. But and so as Matt and I both said, the stitching quality is just amazing. So.
Well, I'd like to hear what you guys think of it if you shoot with another app and bring those photos into auto stitch. I'd like to hear what you think of it then.
Well, you know what?
I will give that a try.
That's a good what do you call it when the teacher tells you to go home and do some work? What do you call that?
Homework?
Assignment. So let's put that out to everybody in the middle of our little panopalooza here. Go ahead and if you have auto stitch now, or if it's something that you see yourself buying, go ahead and try it out in app camera, but then also try it out with importing images from other apps.
So it's definitely a recommendation from you guys.
I do.
Yes,
I definitely would recommend it.
Gotcha. Cool.
All right. So we all have 360, right?
Yep.
Let's get to 360 then. I'll start this time since I haven't started any of them yet. As far as actual capture speed goes, I think it's the fastest.
Yeah.
It's blazingly fast, to be honest with you. And if you are taking something again of a traditional panorama that's just in front of you, It's blazingly fast, and the stitching's pretty damn good, and it's like bing bang done. I mean, like imagine you're taking a 180 or 120 degree view like top to bottom three swipes or something. It's super fast, and it's really good at stitching. It's not the best stitcher, but it's definitely the fastest. By far the fastest one that I have as far as capture goes.
Yeah.
I had mixed results with this app. I think it does it captures a nice looking photo, and does a pretty good job of balancing out the overall exposure. But I don't know if I was trying to capture too much or what the deal was, but I had a tough time getting things to stitch properly with this app.
It depends on the complexity of your stitch too. Because it allows you to go up and down, you kind of have to be careful of what you're photographing. But if you're doing just a typical panoramic, I found that it is a very close second to Dermander. It's a little bit more work involved, but if you do it right with your horizontal and vertical, you could get a really, really sweet panoramic. And again, I had the same thing. It handles the focusing from your brights to the shadows pretty well. And I had good results. This used to be my number one panoramic app until I started playing with Dermander.
I had pretty good stitching results, and like I said, as long as I wasn't doing 360, if I was in the 180 range and like maybe one or two swipes or even three swipes, I was having great luck with it, and it was blazingly fast.
Yeah.
This is another one, though. I believe it's a $1.99 app, correct?
I don't remember how much I paid for it. It's been a while, but I think it's a $1.99.
It's a 99-cent app.
Oh, is it?
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
So that's pretty interesting. Now let's move to PhotoSynth. Anybody?
I had a good time with PhotoSynth. And from what I did with it, it's very, very close to 360 panoramic. They're very close as far as their capture and results. I would have to say the biggest difference, and this isn't a huge difference, but the biggest thing I noticed, that it's a very, very smooth app. It just flows well. Like when you're moving your panoramics around, the image just kind of, it has a viscosity to it that I really can't put my finger on, but just that sort of little bit of inertia helps you take your photos differently. I don't even know if I'm describing that properly,
Matt?
But yeah, just skip luck.
Yeah, we're just gonna ignore that.
For a free app, I think it's a pretty good app. However, I thought out of all the Pano apps that I played with, this one had the hardest time being able to balance out the overall exposure. So you could see differences in a sky, like in the color of the sky where it would stitch together. And there were some other parts where I had some issue getting things to line up. I did a lot of reshooting with this app, but it is pretty similar to 360. I don't think it's a bad app. I just think it takes a little bit of getting used to. And I think, like Mark said before, I think the fact that you can go up and down as well as left and right can get you into a little bit of trouble. So I think if I had made less complex panos, I would have had a little bit better luck with this app.
So for me, this being a free app, it's obviously a no-brainer, right? But this is the only one out of all of them that can do a global pano. And what I mean by that is basically stick yourself inside a pitcher ball. You can go top to bottom, all the way around 360, and basically put yourself in a little photo globe, right? This is the only one out of all of them that can do that, and it does it pretty damn well, and it does it pretty damn fast. With that being said, when I tested the global capabilities of this one and 360, which were the only ones I tried it with, 360 can't do it. But this one could. I put it on my ball head on my tripod, so my pivot point was exactly the same. Instead of me spinning around, I put it on my tripod, and it did really darn good results for what I was asking it for. The stitching was pretty good. Matt did bring up a good point though. It has difficulties in balancing out exposure. I didn't have a lot of stitching issues. I mean, other than perspective correction kind of things, I didn't have a lot of stitching issues other than exposure issues as far as the stitching goes. Bottom line though, this is a kick butt app for free, and it's a no-brainer. You have to get it. Photosynth, it's free. And so my biggest tip for Photosynth 360 and Auto Stitch is that if you're in a situation where you want to make a great pano and you have the availability of maybe say a fence post or something stationary like that that you can use as a guide for your phone, so that you're not imagine standing and holding your arms out and twisting, or putting the phone somewhere and twisting it on a pivot point. You get an easier stitch and a more accurate stitch for larger panos in that kind of fashion. So that's my big tip if you're doing bigger panos. It's not so important if you're doing something even as wide as 180 degrees. You can still get away with pivoting your whole body with your arms out. But if you're trying to go bigger than that, try and get yourself on a pivot point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think another thing why you know, you might be interested in any of these pano apps really is, you know, maybe you don't have a wide angle lens like an Olo Clip or something like that for your phone. You know, try one of these pano apps and you could basically achieve a simulated wide angle by shooting a pano.
That's actually a pretty damn awesome point, Matt. I mean, you don't have to do a super Ginumbly panorama here. If you like that one shot I got of the rainbow, I did with the Olo Clip, but I could have done it with one of these and just going one or two or three frames wide and getting a simulated wide angle. That's a great tip.
That is actually brilliant. And also, I actually found out while playing with the Olo Clip that do not have the wide-angle lens on your phone when you're doing a panoramic.
Oh, no. The distortion will kill it, yeah.
Distortion will kill it.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So let's real quick go around the horn and toss out which one you would say is your must-have.
Dermander for me. I love the fact that the end result is something that you don't have to edit with any kind of cropping because of some weird stitching. It comes out perfect rectangular shape all the time.
Matt?
For me, without a doubt, it's Auto Stitch. I've got perfect results every single time, and I believe this is the only one out of all the apps that we talked about that will let you bring photos in from another app and stitch them in Auto Stitch.
So it's going to be an expensive night for everybody. Well, actually, mine's free, so it doesn't matter. I'm saying Photosynth. It's actually the one that I always go to. Though now that I have Auto Stitch, I'll probably screw around with that. But I am concerned about the fact that it's the capture time so slow. But Photosynth is my pick. So, but it's free, so that's okay. All right. So that ends the Panopalooza. Thank you very much for attending. Exit through the gift shop, please.
And coming soon will be our HDR Palooza.
Yes, HDR Palooza coming soon. All right, boys, let's move into this week's focus points. And since I am focus pointless, let's start with you, Matt.
Oh, no, don't start with me.
All right, let's start with you, Mark.
Mine comes from a suggestion from one of our fans, and his name is Walt. So, Walt, thank you for the suggestion, and he suggested this a while ago, but it took a little while because, well, you'll find out why in a second. My app is called StarCard Softball, and the company that produces this app also does something for baseball, it does something for football, but the one I used is for softball, and what this app does is takes your photos and turns them into baseball cards, like the cards that we used to get in the 70s, 80s,
nice,
back in the day. And the app is $1.99, kind of pricey. Kind of wish it was 99 cents or free, but you know, so be it. It allows you to choose from different templates, choose different, you know, positions that your child or adult, depending on what league you're in. They have various templates, various positions, and you're allowed to take any of your photos and put them into the spot. So if you're a baseball player or any kind of athlete, you can now have your baseball card. And on the back of the card, you can fill out your stats for your particular sport. Now, I don't play any sports, and my daughter's too young. But what I did was I took one of our beach photos and I started making up stats on the fly. I think at one point I gave her Dungeons and Dragons stats of like +3 to agility or something. But I made some stuff up and I placed my order. And I think I ended up paying like between $8 and $9 for 10 cards. And I don't know. I don't remember how long it took for this. Walt wrote to me on August 3rd, and I got them over the weekend. So it took a little while to print, to process. But damn it, the end result is really, really good. I mean, the photo on the baseball card is just pristine. I had a photo of my daughter on the beach, and I had played around with it in Snapseed, so I gave it that nice drama to the photos, and it came out beautiful. I mean, the cards are just very, very cool, and they come in the old wrapper paper that you had in baseball cards. It didn't come with gum, though. I'm kind of disappointed on that one. That would have been bonus points.
I'm
not that stuff was edible.
I'm curious. It's interesting to me actually that you have to pay for the app and then also pay for the printing. That's odd that you have to pay for the app.
Yeah, and not only that, but if you have a, like I got the softball app, if you wanted the baseball app or the football app, that's another $1.99.
Yeah, that's a fail for me.
It's a total fail. But I got to say the end result is really, really, really good. I mean, the printing is really nice. I mean, I have nothing bad to say about that, but you have to pay for the app. So what would have been a 5-star review for me is now down to 3 stars. The end result is great, but if you want to buy more than one app, if you want to do like a, if you have like a child in baseball and another child in football, and they start nickel and diming you with the app.
I don't like that.
Yeah. All right. But I mean, again, end result, super.
All right. Go ahead, Matt.
All right. Well, I didn't get together with Mark and collaborate on this, but I have an app that has everything to do with prints as well. This is a free app.
Nah. So win.
Yep. It's already better than Mark's. It is called Free Prints Delivered to Your Door.
They got to work on the name.
Yes, it's really called Free Prints. Delivered to Your Door is the subtitle.
It's a sequel.
Basically, this is a way for you to get quote unquote high quality 4x6 prints made from your iPhone photos. They offer up to 1,000 free 4x6 prints a year. Comes out to about 85 free photos a month. I don't even know if I take that many pictures with my iPhone in a month, but that's a lot of photos. You do pay shipping and handling. That's where they get you. About $2 or so for shipping and handling. And the photos come to your door in just a few days. You can get other sizes as well. But basically, through this app, you have access to the photos almost no matter where they are, whether it's your photo album, or rather, if you have photo albums set up in your camera roll or your photo stream. You could grab photos from Facebook, Instagram, Flickr, Picasa, if anyone uses that. And,
yeah, it's where I go to straight from Google Plus.
Oh, Google. You were so close.
But I just thought it was cool. I every now and then kind of miss having a tangible photo in my hand. So, you know, I was kind of curious what pictures from the iPhone, how they were going to print, and really they don't look too bad at all. So I'm definitely not framing them and selling them, but something nice to have.
Slick. Nice. What was the name of it again?
Free Prints.
Awesome.
It's if you go into the iTunes store, it's all one word.
I did it with two words, and it still worked.
Oh. I couldn't find it when I typed it in two words.
All right, boys, let's wind this thing down. Thank you very much for coming, everybody. And I wanted to remind everybody, hashtag TinyShutter on Instagram. And that's where you can go to hook up, socialize with everybody else that's listening to the show. You can also head over to tinyshutter.com and get all the links and information from today's show. There's also some on last week's show, possibly this week's show. You can still get the link over to get your free postergrams. And if you do, why don't you send us one? Because we love getting them. And I believe that's it, boys. Let's tell them where they can find us. Mark?
You could find me on casualphotography.net, and you can find me on Instagram, username LensWipe.
Matt?
And you can find me on Instagram at mhoffmanphoto.
I'm on Instagram at Keith_Tharp. Again, all that information and much, much more can be found at tinyshutter.com. Make sure you tell your friends, and I know we don't say it often enough, so head over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, and head over to Facebook and like us, facebook.com/tinyshutter. Thank you very much. We'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.